Good morning, church, again. Glad all of you could make it today. Why don't we just, typically I might get started in something to lead into the message, but haven't done this for a while, so let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that saved us, Lord, thank you. For the gift that you gave us, Lord, thank you. The gift that you gave us that allowed us to be able to believe. You're always present, you're always powerful, you're always caring and giving. Lord, I ask you, please help us. Forgive us, Father, please, for that we too often take you for granted, take your gifts for granted. Forgive us, Lord, for too often we do not trust. We do not have the faith. We do not give you the glory that you deserve. Throughout your word, Lord, you assure us time and time again to be of good courage, to be not dismayed, to fear no evil, to fear not. That we shall not want. And yet, Lord, we fear. We call it complaining, grumbling, anxiousness, worry, doubt. Oh, Father God, you have never failed us. It is we who have failed you. So, Lord, as we go into your word today, please, Father, give us the ears to hear. Give us the hearts to believe, Lord. Father, give us the courage to follow. And by your grace, the character to stay the course. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. A long time ago, not as long as our scripture verse is going to be coming from, but long for anybody here to remember. It was a time called the Great War. And during that Great War, there was this small little village in the Highlands of Scotland. And they were having their young men called to go serve in that Great War. Time and time again, men answered the call. And time again, as they were down at the docks getting ready to sail off to war, the members of the village would come together. They would come together to sing Psalm 46. They sang it from a Scottish psalter, and it had a very nice rhyme to it, and I'm sure if I had that Scottish brogue, I could say it with a proper accent to it as well. But it was really the accent of their heart, the condition of their heart that was unifying them, that was reminding those young men as they left family and home for the first time, much as Abraham left his family and home, that they too could trust in the Lord. They too could know, as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they were being tossed into the fire, they too could know that whether we die or whether we live, praise God. They could know that. They could trust in that with confidence. They were going into a war like the world has never known. As time progressed, there were like 32 countries involved in that war. 32 countries. It involved, I forgot to count, but it involved four continents. There'd never been a war like that before. Which is why they called it the Great War. And because it was so frightening, because it was so devastating, they also said, this is going to be the war that will end all wars. Why would anybody ever want to fight like this again? And so to make sure that people would never forget, they signed their peace treaty when the war was all over. They signed their peace treaty to say that we're never going to do this again. They signed their peace treaty, known as an armistice, at a special time that people all over the world could remember, we're not going to do this anymore. on the 11th hour, on the 11th day, on the 11th month. In 1918, that armistice was signed. And for generations after, Armistice Day was celebrated on the 11th of November, whenever that came, at 11 o'clock in the morning, because people remembered, we're not going to do this. Human nature being as it is, they forgot. That great war, as we found ourselves facing something similar, needed to have another name because it obviously wasn't the war to end all wars. And so when we found ourselves in the devastated heart of World War II, the Great War became known as World War I. Armistice Day got its name changed to Veterans Day. Veterans Day to remember young men who answered the call, young women today who are answering the call to serve for freedom. Is it any wonder that 3,000 plus years ago, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm that Ezekiel was gracious enough to read for us, remind us? Is it any wonder, first off, that with a kind of heart that wanted to remember the day that was the end of the war to end all wars, is it any wonder that this psalm is the one piece of scripture that probably more people than all over the world than any other piece of scripture know? People who say, I can't memorize scripture, have memorized that. The good news is that, and for those that really couldn't quite grasp all of the verses, they've memorized, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a blessing. I'm sure that's a blessing as well. What a blessing that God knew what they needed to remember. What a blessing that David knew that as I write this, and it was at the end of David's life that this actually got out there to the rest of the world. What a blessing that he wanted people to know that the shepherd that would care for them through anything that they went through, the shepherd that they all understood who a shepherd was. You can appreciate that without David, without the 23rd Psalm, were I to get up here and start talking about a shepherd, other than folks like Nolan's family, probably everybody's going to be going, what? What's a shepherd? We have a shepherd. We have the good shepherd in Jesus Christ. Amen. And David wanted us to know the shepherd that he had known for so long. He wanted us to know the shepherd that had saved him from lions and bears, saved him from marauders and thieves, saved him from the armies that he had to fight, saved him from the giant that he had to fight, saved him from the heartache and the devastation that he caused by killing his dearest friend Uriah, saved him. His shepherd saved him. That's the same shepherd that we have today. Hundreds of years passed after he wrote that, in his heart wanting everyone to remember, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Hundreds of years passed. Kings passed. The nation was attacked. Other nations were defeated. And then the nation of Israel, while it was still one of 12 tribes, started to entertain things that were politically correct. They started to entertain time to give worship, honor, credence to other gods. And as that happened,
And they would say, but we still believe in God. We still believe in the Lord God Almighty. That'd be like saying, I still love my wife. I'm grateful for the concubines and mistresses, but I love my wife. It just doesn't work. It didn't work for David. It hasn't worked for anybody since. There is only one God. There is only place in your heart for one God. And if you try to do otherwise, then the God that you are serving, I would put for your consideration, is yourself. So as nations attacked nations, as Israel was fractured in their ways of worshiping God, and because of it, split their nation to the 10 tribes that eventually became the lost tribes of Israel, went to the north and stayed to the north, and the other two tribes called themselves Judah, stayed to the south. A house divided will not stand. As a result, they became a target. And when the Assyrians came to attack Israel, as opposed to Judah, they would try to attack Judah and they would fail, and they would attack Israel, and over time, they were able to capture Israel. As the Assyrians went to finish the job with Judah, but they just couldn't succeed. They captured fortified city after fortified city, but they just couldn't succeed in getting Jerusalem, the city of David, God's city. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it because God was still there in their presence, because the people loved the Lord. They were beginning their own struggle with being politically correct, but the people still loved the Lord, and the Lord showed his love for the people by keeping them safe. And after it looked like this massive army of hundreds of thousands of troops were going to overtake the city of Jerusalem, Hezekiah and the people prayed, and when morning came, 185,000 of the troop never got up. They died. The angel of death came among them during the night, and they died. The Assyrians were defeated. The Israelites had done nothing except trust in the Lord. That was when Psalm 46 got written, or so most theologians believe. Psalm 46 is the psalm I want to be bringing to your attention today. Because Psalm 46, if there was never a psalm, if you didn't get it from "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I pray that you get it. When the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's not defined. He didn't say what kind of trouble. He didn't say how many rooms were in the refuge. He didn't say what kind of strength, because it's no need if you trust the Lord. You know he's got it. However, kind of like we saw with the 23rd Psalm, he knew the people would question. So he took the time, that psalmist, to clarify the message of the Lord is our very present help in time of trouble. So I've taken this message, I've kind of taken the natural parts that are there. In verses 1 to 3, I'm thinking of as being showing us that God is always present. So I want you to see how present God is as we look at those first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. First time I ever really felt an earthquake, we didn't think it was an earthquake. I know you're probably wondering, how can you not think an earthquake is an earthquake? We were at Universal Studios. So being at Universal Studios, having Dolan with us, who's quite young, and everything starts to shake, I just went, wow, these guys are really good. It was an earthquake. Everybody else knew to take cover. These folks from Hawaii are just standing around going, this is pretty good. You know, when real earthquakes come, not just the tremor kind that we felt at Universal Studios, how much that just really jolt everything you're counting on? I mean, we recognize that homes and cars and jobs and people, things are going to change. But the earth? I mean, the earth is the earth. I mean, we kind of get our stability from, okay, my feet are well planted, well, I'm good to go. And then it's not there. Earthquakes happen and that ground beneath us can just split wide open and there's nothing there and we're gone. For those of you that have been in any of those wars since the Great War, I can tell you that in a war, you think that as the bombs start to come in, as the mortar rounds go off, as the enemy is firing rounds at you and you don't know if you're going to survive, you think, this is the worst it can get. I've never been in the kind of earthquake that the earth separated, but somehow I think that might be worse. Because when you're being fired at, there's still a part of you that has firm ground under you. If you're blown up and you're thrown away, you believe that you will land on that earth again and someone will come to help you. But if the earth gives way, you could understandably feel there is no hope. Unless your faith is in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is the reason why Shadrach and his friends were able to say, whether I live or die, praise God. We are so committed, not just on this earth, we are so committed to this body and this time and the things that we touch. That's where our commitment is. Praise God for giving it to us, but sadly, we forget God in our commitment to this earth, this body, and the things that we can touch. That's our lack of faith. That's the reason why, if we were being taken to that furnace that was burning so hot that the guards burned up before they ever got those three believers into it, we might be thinking, great, thank you, Lord, for taking them out. I'm out of here. And that would seem like you had great faith. God showed us what great faith is as those men continued to walk on their own into the furnace. As those men continued to wait in the furnace, as it turned out, for the Lord. They were waiting on the Lord. I don't think they thought he would appear. But what a blessing when you do the very thing that God has called you to do, which is trust in him with all your heart. When you do the very thing that God has told you to do, what a blessing what God does with that. Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't believe in God whatsoever, saw there was someone else in there with those three men. And he was stunned. He may have said that it looked like the son of a god, but we all knew it was the son of God. Praise God for how he uses our faith in the time that it seems so hopeless and we seem so helpless. Praise God. Psalm 8 I saw that it said Romans, my mind said Psalm. Romans 8:28, what most of us know, and we know how the Lord works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what a blessing, and we think that's wonderful. Those who, that doesn't work when you have the mic here, sorry. What a blessing that even those who don't know the Lord will think the Lord makes all things work for good. They're not counting on the rest of it. They're kind of doing what many people also do with God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He must have died for everybody then. So we're all going to heaven. Sad. Sad. But be glad that they know that much, because we can work with that. Be glad that they know that the loving Father of all fathers sent the King of all kings to die for us in a place that if we had to do it for ourselves would be forever dead. And not the dead that has no memory, but the dead that can't forget. The dead that stays in pain. Praise God. The people have that much of an awareness of his word that you can work with that. Praise God that after you read that part of Romans, you start to see how Paul helps us to understand more deeply that meaning of how God works all things together for good. So if we continued and we went to verse 37 and to 39, it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us. Thank you very much, sister. I appreciate it. Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God if you are his. No one can take you from the hand of God. Praise God. Our problem getting back to the flesh, our problem getting back to the things that we see, our problem gets back to the fact that we look at time through our eyes. And there's just a part of us that thinks that when we're gone, time's over. And we struggle to think that when we're gone, time has barely begun. Time becomes irrelevant. That has no way to sit in our brain. And God says, I know. I understand. I love you. It doesn't mean I still don't have a plan. Just because you don't understand it. Trust me. Trust me. I'm your shepherd. You shall not want. Thank you, Joyce. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning comes. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, I kept looking for something that would talk about the nations and the kingdoms, and I was just thinking how nations are bigger than kingdoms, and if a nation was to be in rage with another nation, some of the kingdoms may fall in that turmoil. But then it talks about how he utters his voice and the earth melts. So this is kind of my interpretation of that, so take it as you will. But nations, kingdoms, the powers of this earth are nothing compared to God. Because God does no raging. God doesn't cause things to totter. God just speaks. And if it's his will, the earth melts. So one of the things that tells us is that earthquakes aren't, volcanoes are not accidents. Melted earth coming from the ground. God is letting us know, I still created all of this. Before I created this, there was nothing. You can't conceive of that. For the same reason, you really have a hard time conceiving of what it will be like when we leave this body, when we leave this earth. Because we have a hard time conceiving of the beginning of this earth. But God created it from the nothing. And from the nothing, he brought us into being. God did that. I loved it today. I'll start with what I heard today, that there, for Christians, there's really no question when it comes to which came first, the chicken or the egg. It was the chicken. God created the chicken. The chicken had an egg later on because that was God's plan. The world gets confused. It's understandable. I don't fault the world. I fault me for some of the times when I get confused. My confusion comes from not resting in his word and trusting in the Lord. If my trust in my direction came from him, I wouldn't be confused. This city of God, at that point, they were thinking of things like Jerusalem. At that point, they were talking about how this river, by the grace of God, this flow of water that allowed them to live, came into the city of God during the time that the Assyrians, Sennacherib, was sieging them, wanted to starve them out, wanted to thirst them out, wanted them to die without food or water. But God had a different plan. God provided for them the water by providing for them the wisdom to know how to divert the streams from Siloam and bring it into underneath the city of David, the city of God. They think of it as the city of God where God was residing because that's where the temple was. And they still have that concept of tabernacle, God's presence, Moses went. And so they kept that thinking, which really, you know, there's people today that think like that too. You know, this is God's house. People are coming in here. They're going to meet with God. You know, I mean, the thinking hasn't gone away. Praise God for our understanding that should the earthquake come, should a tsunami hit, and this church, may it not happen, Lord, but if this church was wiped out, this is not God's house. This is a place where we meet as God's children to worship him and honor him for all that he has done, realizing that he resides within us. Praise the Lord for that. If you said that to somebody back in David's time, let alone in Hezekiah's time, they'd be looking at you like you were a heretic. What do you mean God lives in you? For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, as we are in him, he is in us. And he would never leave us or forsake us, which is why he sent his Spirit to be with us, causing things to happen in our lives that we go, wow, that's got to be God. There's no way I could have done it. I couldn't even have thought to have done that. Praise God. But we still take God for granted. One of the reasons why it's such a blessing to have children is because for the wise parent, children help us to remember never take God for granted. Some of us get more memories of that than others, but never take God for granted. Because childbirth is still a miracle. Childbirth is not something that a mom and a dad caused to happen. God used the mom and the dad to chose them to cause something to happen through them, as he will use us for things to occur through us if we trust him in other ways as well. So as we know the miracle of birth, what other miracles does God have in store for you if you'll let him work through you? Praise God. The city of light is now referred to by believers as the church. You're the church, not the church and the steeple and the open the doors and see all the people, but you're the church. Praise God. And even when we die, it doesn't change the fact that we are the church. Because when we die to go to be with the Lord, we still got another thing coming as the church. There's a marriage coming. There's that marriage feast of the Lamb that we haven't been called to that yet. We've just been called to be with him, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Praise God. We still have so much to look forward to. And then after the wedding feast, praise God, there's still so much things that we have to look forward to. But for those who were married and knew not their wife before they got married, they knew not what they had to look forward to. They were clueless. There was no way they could have an understanding of the joy and the pleasure and the love that would be shared unlike any love that they ever had before. Praise God. And what God has planned for us after our marriage to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, it's just beyond our understanding or imagination. But you got to start to entertain that awareness. Because if you don't entertain the awareness, then you start to get dulled to the fact that it's coming, and you start to believe the lie that this is all there is. What you do here makes the difference. So I may have just thrown something into the mix that you're going, but wait a minute, does what we do here make a big difference? Remembering what the messages have been, remembering what God's word has said, it's a difficult passage to think that we're the elect. It's the difficult passage to think that we're selected. It's a difficult passage to think that this is the way God planned it. I planned that so I didn't go on talking too long. It's difficult because we think, but what about, those are things we don't understand. I don't understand them. God had a plan. Was there ever anything that you and your limited knowledge and limited understanding did to create that you didn't have a plan for? What'd you create it for? God had a plan. Praise God. May we trust in that. Because if you trust in that, then you realize that there's something going on that I just don't understand. But I see what psalmists have written. I see what people in eons past me have gone through in trusting the Lord or not trusting the Lord. And I see what happens to those who don't and those who do. And when I start to think that, well, maybe God just kind of, or excuse me, not God, but man just kind of arranged this to talk about the things that will point people to God because man had a plan. I'm not really big on talking about the things that I'm rotten at. I try to be transparent, but I'm not likely to get up here and tell you a whole bunch of stuff that I've done poorly. There is almost nobody you'll see in the Bible that loves the Lord that didn't do it poorly. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's the God of all that's in heaven and all of creation is with us. All of the perfection that he has done is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. You may be thinking, so what's the big deal? And the big deal is very simply because Jacob was the heel grabber. Jacob was the cheat. Jacob was the prime example of a sinner. And the God of Jacob is our fortress because God loves Jacob. Praise God. There is absolutely no place that you're going to fit that's outside of the fortress of God unless you put yourself there. But I want to remind you, as Pastor Randy will get into when he comes back, looking at the perseverance of the saints, I want to remind you that there is good cause for you to truly believe once saved, always saved. The easiest way for me to believe in that is because God makes it very clear that no one can snatch you from the hand of God. That's just God's work. I used to think, well, I could jump out. Nobody else could snatch me, but I could just say, I don't want to do this anymore. No, I'm part of the no one. I'm part of the no one. I might not be in God's hand, because God is always present. God is always around us. So I might not be in God's hand. And therefore, I may not have those blessings of salvation, even though I look like I played the part. How sad. But the reality is that for those who are His, no one can take us away. We have nothing to fear. I don't really know if Winston Churchill was a believer or not, but he said we have nothing to fear but fear itself. I would say that's a true statement, because when we get into fearing, we get into that false evidence appearing real that is actually coming from ourselves, not from God. It's actually coming from what the enemy, the devil, can deceive us with in our own fallen nature and causing us to lean that way instead of trusting in the Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Because the reality is, as they saw in the city of God, God is all powerful. What a blessing that we have a God who is not only always present, but He is all powerful. I mean, I'm glad you're here, Lord, but I have nothing to fear because You're all powerful. There is nothing more powerful than God, which is why nothing can snatch us from His hand. But you see, what makes it all gel is the fact that He is all caring. God is all caring, and it's demonstrated in what you see in those last verses when it says, "Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know, I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God is always caring. He cares for us so much He sent His Son to die for us. There is nothing that God won't do to protect His own. We just have to be careful that we continue to resist those blessings. Because sadly enough, even if you are saved, that doesn't mean that you are going to be relishing, living in the blessings of that salvation. He won't force you to do that. You may be chosen. You may be one of the elect. I pray that you ask Him to help you to demonstrate that in your life, to demonstrate how much you love Him and are grateful for the things that He has done for you and in you. But I want you to remember that as that river was brought through to keep the life and restore life to the city of God, the city of David, Jerusalem, We've heard the same things from Jesus Christ. So in Revelation, which we just read just a little while ago, this particular verse in 22, it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." That's that little Polaroid snapshot of what our eternity will begin looking like. Jesus Christ brings us the water of life. As he is the way and the truth and the life, he brings us this water, this ability to take care of those needs that we have that cause us to thirst and think that we need something more than we've got. God meets all of our needs, as basic as the water of life. So there was a reason why I didn't tell you the points I wanted to make, because I only had one. And you may have picked up on it already. There was a reason why I identified the breakdown of Psalm 46. It's because you can see how that speaks to the amazing God that we are in a covenant relationship with. So many people invest time and money in so many things, stocks, bonds, jobs, whatever. Our God has that AAA rating that nobody else can compare with. Our God is the one who is always present, who is almighty, all-powerful, all-caring. It doesn't get any better. We have nothing else we can look to see the confidence that we have in his plans for us. So, as we close, that final point, which you were looking for as my first point, I hope you already got it. Because if you understood that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the light's coming on. If you understood that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, you're getting it. And if you really want to understand God's message, my message, God's message, we don't have to break down the rest of the 23rd or the 46th. We just get to the last thing he said. "Be still and know that I am God." All the other things that you want to do to take care of something, be still and know that I am God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Be still. God loves you. God hasn't forgotten you. If you have something going on that is troubling you, be still and know he is God. Turn to the Lord. Trust in him. Get on your knees. Get in his word. Do the things that you know you don't do enough of. But by the way, when I go like this, you know the fingers that are pointing to me, right? Okay. Do the things that we know we don't do enough of. God's not going to go anywhere. He died for you. He waits for you with open arms. The Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. Could you please stand and join me as we say the Lord's Prayer? And some of the younger ones may not know it, and I have a feeling that all the guys are quickly rushing to find the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to be saying it from Matthew 6. So join me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who have our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. As you just now came together to honor the Lord, going to Him with the petition of your heart, with the confidence to know that He hears you, He loves you, the confidence to know that He is our fortress, He is our strength, He is the refuge that we need in the time of our trouble. I want you to know that one of the ways that He brings this to our attention every day, in case you missed it, is in the fellowship that we have with one another. Because if you believe, as you should, that the Lord is within you, as you are within Christ, if you believe the Holy Spirit is working through you, then please understand that you are here for a purpose. Every single one of you is here for a purpose. And among other things, it is to fellowship with one another. One of the greatest aspects of fellowship that we will ever be able to partake in will be the Lord's Supper. And today, when the time comes, because I haven't looked at my bulletin to see when, we'll be blessed to have our apprentice in training, Brother Nick, lead us in the Lord's Supper today. So I pray that you all will consider deeply the cost that was paid for the meal that we enjoy. Those of you that have any kinds of prayer concerns that you would like to share with me and pray about with me, I will be in the room that is to your left, that you see Pastor Randy frequently going out to our right, and you are welcome to join me there.